Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back and relax, and let's chat about what is happening up in the sky above. So if you guys are getting messages from me in the Living or from the Living Astrology Facebook page, you saw the beautiful picture this morning of what I was trying to get was the picture of the moon and Jupiter, Saturn, and Mars. Unfortunately, I have very tall trees around me, and I wasn't able to really get that picture. And of course, I have the moon is getting ever closer to new phase, which means it's closer and closer to a conjunction with the sun. And that means then that we are not able to see everything that's up there in the sky. So then I thought about my app. And I shared a picture of what the sky looks like in my app. Right now, I'm going to take a quick peek and see if I can't find that picture that I had from earlier this morning and post it up here so everybody can see. Let's see. I put it in. It was a download. Hello, Sadie. It was a download. And which image was it? That one? Nope. Wrong image. This image. Okay, now I'm going to share my screen so you guys can see this, because it there's just something magical about really getting to see what it is with your eyes that we're talking about quite frequently in astrology. Sorry, I left my phone on. So what we have here in this picture is an app, and the app, I just point to the sky. So I take my camera and I point it at whatever it is that I want to see. And sometimes I use it, I'm just scanning the sky to see, you know, what's out there. But this morning I pointed it right at the moon, and this is what it showed me. This beautiful connection. Here's the moon right here in the center. And I could see Jupiter in the picture that I took of the actual sky. You could see Jupiter if you, you know, make it focus in a little bit or make the picture bigger. But then you couldn't see Saturn. It was off in a tree, and you couldn't see Mars because it was probably too dim in the light of the sun to be able to see that. Because if you can just barely see this line right down here, that's the line of the horizon. So the sun is coming up on that horizon, casting a lot of light over here. And the app is actually just showing us that. So this was at 6:35 this morning. And it's just so fascinating to be able to see, right? This is what's happening. We have Saturn in Capricorn. We have Jupiter in Capricorn. We have the moon this morning in Capricorn. And of course, Mars just having moved into Capricorn. So nice there. I also wanted to tell you, as you note here, you see this is the constellation of Sagittarius. Even though we're saying that the planets are in the sign of Capricorn, it's the zodiac sign that they're in. But if we were to be in a constellation, the constellation is Sagittarius. And due to precession of the equinoxes over the millennia that we have had a study like astrology, it hasn't moved forward with the stars like some of the other astrologies do. For example, I believe it's Vedic or Eastern astrology where they're always in the same, the sign is the same as the constellation that they're in. For right or wrong, it is just the way it is. And what I think is really fascinating about that whole thing is it also shows the tendency of astrology to be sort of like science in holding back instead of moving forward, right? They hold on to that dogma for so long, including the resistance they have to including Ophiuchus as a sign in the zodiac. Ophiuchus would be somewhere between Scorpio and Sagittarius. And right now the sun every year moves across the ecliptic plane right through the foot of Ophiuchus. So here we've added a 13th sign, 13, and yet there is such resistance to adding that 13th sign into the pantheon. And I get it on one hand, I really do. I understand their reasoning behind it, but I also think that it's being, you know, too narrow minded and trying to hold to an old doctrine. I think what they try to do is make it, you know, so that it would be more scientific. Which of course they're failing miserably at, but that's just one astrologer's opinion. So there we have it. This is what our sky looks like this morning. Just beautiful. Okay. I wanted to share that with everybody because I thought it was wonderful to look at. Okay, I hope everybody's doing well this morning. Of course, the moon in Capricorn is making a couple of connections today that we really want to be aware of, and a connection over the next day or so that we also want to be aware of, and we'll get into that. I'm also going to introduce the 55th gene key today, as it is the human design gate, or the gene key that we now have the sun sitting at. And the gate 55 is a gate in human design that we call faith or abundance in spirit. And in the gene keys, it is the gift of freedom. And in the Siddhi, it is freedom with a capital F and a capital R all the way through, all capitals, freedom, where the shadow of the energy is victimization. And I'm so ready to get rid of that, aren't you? Or to let that one go, the blame game, the victimization. It's so last century. Let's let it go and move on. And that's what the 55th gene key is all about, is the outer world evolutionary impulse that is moving through us all, leaving that victimization behind in favor of becoming free. So we'll talk more about that. And as well, we'll get into a little bit of our Pleiadian Earth energy today. This morning, I got sidetracked doing the pictures, and I don't know where I've been this morning, but I didn't get very much written. There's so much more I could be talking to you about today. I just find all of the things that are happening right now fascinating, right? In the out expression of it, as well as the more subtle expression of it, the feelings that are moving through me, the feelings that are old and leaving, as well as what new things are coming in. It's really fascinating to feel this and to watch this happening. I'm going to move over to Facebook real quick so I can say good morning to everybody. And hold on, I've got to get to the actual page that I'm on. Nope, that's not the one. And let me go back again. It's too funny. There are so many things now that Facebook is doing that drives me crazy, because for one thing, a friend yesterday and I were chatting, and he said that this is being broadcast on two pages, this page and then in the group Live by Human Design, which I knew that was happening, because I ask it to do that every morning. But he also noted that it was something that created havoc, because he joins in on one page and it's lagging behind the other. And I there's no way for me to confirm or deny that. I mean, that's the experience that he's having. But I was gratified to see this morning when I looked at it, that it really isn't two sets of people commenting. It is all of the comments are coming through on both pages. So that works out really well for me. Let's see. Good morning to Susan Bronlin. It's great to see you this morning. And Vicky Pedroncelli, good morning to you. Jackie Lopez, good morning. And she says, hello, Astro Fam. I love that. Astro Family, of course, that's what we are, is an astrology family. And to everybody else out there that is joining us this morning, welcome. And even though I may not be able to see all your comments, please post questions. I am looking back at them later in the day to make sure that I've not missed anybody's important comment or question. Okay, so let's go and take a look now at what the moon is doing for us today. I mentioned that it was in a couple of important contacts, and one of those is a sextile to Mercury this morning. Another one is a square to Venus, albeit that one doesn't seem to be too difficult or too important in the grand scheme of things. But also the conjunction this morning, today, maybe a little bit later in the day, to Jupiter, and then a sextile to Neptune. It is that sextile to Neptune and the conjunction to Jupiter that I really want to focus our attention on this morning. And I think we can look at this in a couple of different ways. One, let's just take the other two, the minor ones, just so that you have an idea of what those are on or talking about. So the moon is in Capricorn, while Mercury right now is in retrograde in Pisces. And another conversation I had yesterday with a friend was this idea of what's happening with Mercury in retrograde while Mars has moved into Capricorn. And we know that Mars is an action-oriented planet, right? It wants us to move forward. And I noted on, I think it was Monday when we were together, that Mars is really happy in Capricorn. He loves it there because he can take his action and he has a plan to follow. And he's really good at moving us forward with a plan, right? The method, the step-by-step. He's very enduring, perseverant, tenacious, and determined when he's in the sign of Capricorn. But then we take Mercury now, and Mercury in its first retrograde of the decade, its first retrograde of 2020, and it is slowing things down. So I want to talk a bit about the retrograde, because sometimes I think we get this, and as an astrologer, I think I've even been guilty of doing this, of telling people, don't start anything new during the retrograde. And then we get to a situation like this, where one planet is pushing us forward, while this other one is hanging us up a bit. So I just want to redefine a little bit the retrograde of Mercury or of any planet. So I want you to think of retrograde. First of all, when a planet is forward, I want you to think of that as the outward expression of the energy of that planet. So whether it's Jupiter, Pluto, Mars, the moon, it's in forward motion. It's expressing in the outer world. It has the energy of extroverted energy, or the expression of everything is more in that outer world. We see it outwardly. It's yang energy. Right? Yang energy is action oriented. It pushes outward. Then when a planet is in retrograde motion, it is yin energy. It is pushing inward. So any retrograde planet slows things down because its movement is from outer world to inner world. And the inner world requires us to be in contemplation, to be able to sit in quietness, to really listen. So things slow down in a retrograde. They don't come to a stop particularly. They slow down, right? We're slowing down the roll. In retrograde, retrograde Mercury in Pisces is slowing us down so that we can get a clearer vision of our dreams, of our hopes, of our aspirations, of all of the things that lie in our imagination that we want to bring out into the world. But we often are in a situation where we think of an idea, and rather than letting it percolate a little bit and, you know, come to some kind of form, we often will take it right away and go running with it and try to put it out in the world. Now, sometimes that works perfectly, but in a retrograde, that isn't going to work so well, right? In a retrograde, the things that are coming up here, those imaginations, those beautiful dreams that we want to take now and express outwardly are in slow-mo. And the reason slow-mo is important is it gives us an opportunity to catch the mistakes that we might make, to catch the inconsistencies in what it is that we're doing, to slow down and see more clearly the vision, and then lay a plan to that vision, because Mars is in Capricorn. I hope that helps, right? So Mercury in retrograde in Pisces, we're envisioning, we're reimagining, we're reforming. Any word really that you want, you can take the re meaning doing it again, or reevaluating. I use the word anyway. So re doing it again and put it to a word. And that's what's happening here. And specifically in Pisces, we might be reevaluating our spiritual connection, because Pisces rules our spirituality. We might be reevaluating our connection to the real versus the ideal. We might be dealing with a lot of that ideas, information coming in about what we want to do. And our requirement, if you will, at this point in time, is to slow things down so that we're not rushing to enact that dream. We're giving it some time to really establish itself, and then making a plan for its execution, right? That's Mars in Capricorn. So I hope that helps. Now, the moon then in a sextile to Mercury today is reminding us that there's real benefit in both of these playing out in your life right now. Mercury slowing things down so that your imagination and your creations and your spiritual abundance are all, you know, fully formed. And then Mars in Capricorn, the moon in Capricorn, giving our emotions that staying power, that ability to take that step by step. Now, the moon in a square to Venus is not, Venus right now, she's off into the sign of Aries. She's at about 13 degrees Aries today. What a wonderful number. She's at 13 degrees Aries today while the moon is in Capricorn. That is square energy. Remember, Aries will square anything in Aries, squares anything in Capricorn. And so while we have Venus at 13 degrees and the moon at 13 degrees, that square is enacted. So we may have a little bit of a struggle trying to get our values in alignment. Maybe you're having some financial challenges, blips on the screen today. The big news of the day with the moon is its conjunction to Jupiter, and it happens once a month. The moon comes to Jupiter and conjuncts it. So it's not huge, but the fact is that this conjunction to Jupiter is also like the kickoff, the send-off for Jupiter's sextile to the planet Neptune. So I'm going to take you back to 2019. And one of the first things that we saw in the new year, 2019, was Saturn in a sextile to Jupiter, to Neptune, excuse me. And Saturn's sextile to Neptune was all about building a foundation of spirituality, of a connection to spirit. And we ended up with that particular transit three times. So you know it's important when it's being repeated. Right? So anytime a planet moves forward over something and then retrogrades not long after and moves back over that spot, and then when it turns forward and moves back over it, you know it's important, right? It says, stand up and take notice of me. That's the purpose of that three fur, if you will, that three times being hit. And anytime this happens, then it calls our attention to the major function of that aspect. So with Saturn last year's in a sextile to Neptune, it was about restructuring our lives to include spirit, right? To really embody that divine spark, to realize that we're not just physical beings sitting here on a physical planet bound in very earth-like physical realms. We are also in a more, I was going to say digital, but a more spiritual, etheric connection as well. And we needed to bring those two together and house them to really understand that we were so much more than what we seem to be in the flesh and blood moment. So we had that happening three times for us in 2019. Now in 2020, we're going to have three of the Jupiter sextile Neptune. Now, Jupiter is the planet about growth and expansion, but it is in the sign of Capricorn, which is a sign of contraction and limitation and focus. That's maybe a better word. That makes me feel better. It's a sign of focus. And so what is that saying then? Our expansion, our expansiveness is attached to our ability to focus on our spirit. I hope I'm saying that right. So Jupiter's, our ability to expand and grow in this particular year is really going to be tied into our ability to really grow through our spiritual connection. Jupiter sextile, which is a 60 degree angle relationship between the planets. So it is something where the gifts and talents of both come to play right there. They work, it's energy that works well together. So the moon and its soul connection is what we talk about as an aspect, right? That's what we would be aspecting with the moon. Jupiter in this, we would be aspecting the expansion or the growth or the evolution of consciousness. And then with Neptune, it is that spiritual, seeing ourselves in our divine right and bringing those two together. So interesting day, I think, and an interesting contact. So this is February. This is when the first Jupiter sextile Neptune comes up. The next one will be in June, late June, I believe it is. And then the next one in October. So with three times this year, we're going to have this energy where we're being asked to grow through our divine connections, connecting to our divine high selves and not just our limited physical being. again, you're so much more than you believe yourself to be. So we're connected and connecting and evolving more toward our divine truth, our true divinity. And that theme is going to come up again, as right now the sun is sitting in the sign or in the gate 55, which is the gate of our freedom, when we realize that we are so much more than what we've allowed ourselves to believe we are. Okay, and then of course, I took a look at what gates we were talking about with the moon today. And at the moment I looked at the chart, we were in, the moon was in the gate 38, which is the gate of fight. It's interesting. It's a gate that sits on the root center. So it's a foundation of who we are, a foundation for humanity. And it's a gate where we're struggling or we're fighting for a cause perhaps, or to bring an evolutionary impulse to the tribe. We may even be, the 38 being on the root center moves off toward the spleen, which is the center for survival. So there may even be some struggle or fight going on about how to survive, right? How do we survive in these times right now where things are so crazy, right? Where at any moment, something else will fall, or something else will happen that is an assault on the earth or an assault on us as people, or who knows, right? There's so much chaos out there. So it really is tasking us to see something higher, right? To really fight or struggle for something that has true meaning and not just those frivolous things that we fight for between ourselves, right? It's that saying, pick your battles wisely, or choose your battles wisely. That's what this energy is about today with the moon. Then and even now, maybe it's already moved off to the gate 54, also on the root center. So the moon is moving through these foundation energies right now in your human design. And the gate 54 will focus on our ambition, our drives, our goals, right? What is it that we want to succeed in creating in our lives, right? And then do we have a plan to get there? Because this is the gate that we think of for two things. Two drives come up here. One, the drive to succeed in life, right? To succeed as a physical being, to succeed as a human. And being human on this planet right now often involves what you do, right? What work do you do? And how do you express yourself in the world? But on the other hand, the gate 54 is also the launching pad to our spiritual journey, to our reaching out for enlightenment or for ascension, if you will. So we could use a lot of different words here, where there's this twofer, this like thing that's a fork in a road almost, where we have to not only be involved with the ambition and the drive to achieve something here in the physical world, but what is the drive and the ambition to achieve at a spiritual level? So we have both those energies today that the moon is focusing us into. All right, taking back over to Facebook. Mimi, good morning. This slowdown is working for me. Thankful. Off topic, Kitty Cat is peeking over your shoulder. She's asleep now, I think. She was. If I turn, you can see her. She likes to lay on my side of the bed. And that's where she perches herself while I'm doing my morning thing now. So funny. And then later in the afternoon, what she will do is she will meow at me, and she will keep meowing at me. Like she's telling me it's time to stop working. It's time to come and play with me. And so at that point, then I have to turn my attention to her. Yesterday, we went outside for a while. It was a sunny day. And she wanted to go out, but there were eagles out there. And that always makes me a little bit scared for her. So I stay out there with her, and we played outside for a while. It was kind of fun. Too bad it was cold. But you know, those warmer days will come, and then I'll just complain because it's hot. Elisa, good morning to you. And Val, good morning to you. And yes, the slowdown is working. And I'll tell you what happened to me yesterday as well. There was something in that slowdown that also became rather inspiring and inspired me to take action on something that was really important to me, something I really wanted to do. And I was amazed at how easy it came to me to do that. And I I felt so empowered, right? And so happy that I was able to achieve something that I'd been wanting to do. And then I went, okay, that was so good. Let's go on to the next one. And I want to achieve that too. And then came the problems, right? The problems. Now I was faced with all kinds of problems. I couldn't get the program that I use for artwork and so forth to do what I wanted it to do. It looked nasty. And I'm like, oh God, this just isn't working. This is when Kat started meowing at me, by the way. So I took the break then. And it's amazing to me how when we just follow that flow, remember yesterday's Pleiadian Earth energy was about flow. And yesterday that flow was, okay, you got the flow and you go with that flow. And now I'm meeting up with resistance. I can either keep pushing and just get more and more frustrated and angry and upset that it isn't working. Or you could do what your cat's saying, which is let's go outside and play. So indeed, that is what I did for another hour or so, then came back and ended up trying to work something else. So right now, the slowdown is working in your favor. You just have to know that, you know, when the gateway opens, you go. And then when it shuts down, you go in a different direction or you go do something else. It doesn't mean that the other gateway won't open back up. So I'm hoping today that gateway opens back up and I can take the next step that I wanted to. And if it doesn't, it's okay. I'm not going to have a conniption over it. It's another sunny day. I'll just go out and play or do something else. I have a couple projects I'm in the middle of. Okay. So, good morning, Irene she says, happy afternoon from Sweden. Yay. I love it. Thanks for joining us all the way from Sweden. And we have a couple of people from Sweden. I wonder if you're friends with Christine Erickson, maybe. She joins us here in the morning. So welcome to you, Irene. We're glad to have you here. And let's go on now to the other important stuff. There's always important stuff to talk about. But this morning, I really wanted to go through an introduction to the Gene Key 55. In human design, there's also a gate 55. So gene keys, human design gates, they're interchangeable. They're different systems, but they are gene keys is built on human design. So when there is something at the gate 55, it is also sitting at the gene key 55. So now I need to make sure all of you understand you have all of the human design. You have all of the gene keys. Right? All of us have access to all 64 of those gates and all 64 of the gene keys themselves. What's different is how it is that you are set up from birth to express those traits, because those gene keys and those gates are analogous to the 64 codons on your DNA. And the DNA then, of course, expresses color in your eyes, in your hair, your skin. It expresses the personality traits that you might have. Are you open and extroverted? Or are you more introverted? So these are all traits that we can see. We can't literally see them in your DNA, but the DNA or through the gene keys, we can attach words and energy through words to what the energy is on the gene key or on the gene. I hope that makes sense to everybody. So what we're really doing is taking and putting words to the energies that are already being driven by your DNA. And in that, then we end up with the ability to express and talk about how do we elevate that DNA? How do we expand it? How do we bring more light to it? And that brings us to the gate 55, right? The gate of freedom. It's freedom with the all caps in the gift or the city. In the gift, it's freedom. And in the low expression or the shadow, it is the energy of victimization. And I think every one of you out there can identify with that shadow energy. I think once we bring it up into our conscious awareness, we can all see where these energies operate in our lives, right? The victimization energy works out in your life every time you want to blame something else for your condition, where you succumb to fear. And that victimization energy has held sway on this planet for a very long time. And then the Gene Key 55 comes along and it represents the evolution of humanity, where it is we are going to embark in the great change. Richard Rudd calls it the great change. This is the thing that is about to leap into our awareness. It is from other, I think there's every discipline, every spiritual discipline, every kind of light worker has sort of felt this and talked about this for a while, that this change is coming. And this change is so much more than ascension or, you know, what transformation or things that people have been talking about. It is nigh on an evolutionary leap where we are leaping from one state to another. We've gone through evolutionary leaps before in our development as humans on the planet. For example, when we leaped from the one hemispheric brain to the two hemispheric brain, that literally was a transition that happened very quickly. Greg Braden talks about in his work, another genetic anomaly, if you will, that's occurred very quickly in rewiring our emotional selves, our emotions. And that happened without any of us being really physically, mentally, emotionally aware of it, but it happened. And suddenly we were expressing more than what we had been before. And there is another great change or great evolution upon us. And it is literally the unveiling of the purpose for life hidden in our DNA. It's the secret to our lives on Earth and to your purpose for being here on this planet. It is the revelation here of your true divinity. And the connection then that we have for getting beyond victimization and getting on toward the energy of freedom. I can't say that word enough. I love that word. And on the planet, we have been so intent on surviving and managing our outer lives, right? Our work and our families and putting food on the table and getting health care, making the money, frying the bacon up, that we have really ignored our true divine nature, right? The survival has created a field of energy on the planet that has distracted us into not chasing the right dream, let's say, right? So we've been sort of chasing this survival energy. And the idea of reaching our true divine selves has sort of felt out of reach, right? Who has time to focus on our inner dimensions while I'm so busy trying to make things happen in my outer world, right? We've all been there. We're all doing this. And unfortunately, it has been the thing that has held us back. Right. It is the thing that has held us back, because the more we ignore that true divine place within us, the more we become dependent on the outer world and then chasing down the emotions that are what we would think of as feel good emotions. So what we're about to change is in this evolution of consciousness, that instead of that, trying to attach to the emotion, let's say, of joy, finding it outside of us, right? Why is it you think you go to work every day? I mean, purely there's survival things there, right? That clearly that's a part of it. But there's another part of it. And the other part of it is that we are chasing the outer world feelings of joy and happiness and pleasure. And that has also tied us to this survival energy, right? We're constantly trying to do things because of the feeling it's going to create for us and not for the true pleasure of just doing that, right? I'm hoping I'm able to express this, because this is tricky, because it kind of flies into the face of everything that we think we are here to do and everything that we believe is true about our emotions. And the 55th gene key shows us that we have two options here, that we can continue to be a victim of circumstance where we're always chasing the next high in the outer world, or we can take full responsibility for the situation we're in, for our emotional state, for our financial state, for our health state, for our prosperity or our businesses, for whatever it is. And then the solar plexus connection here is that eventually this 55th gene key moves us into moving toward things that feel good, that are not, that make us feel good from inside, not that our outer world things that we need to feel successful or to feel loved or to feel joyful. So we're always chasing things, if you will, in that outer world that want to make us feel that joy, when really that joy is within you. And it's always there. It may not be expressed in the moment because maybe you have moved off into a low part of your emotional wave, and you're maybe in contemplation, or maybe you feel sad because something has happened in your outer world. But that doesn't mean that you have to go again and chase joy in that outer world, because it will return. It never left. It's always there. It's just a matter of our learning how to allow this awakening that is happening on the planet to take shape here for us. I hope by the way, the gene key itself is called the dragonfly's dream. And this is why I in part put this dragonfly as my first ever tattoo last year, because it really was to me the awakening of this freedom that is happening for all of us. And of course, the Gene Key Study Group, we are looking at the involution, where the same thing as the DNA mutation that is occurring for the outer world expression and the evolution in the outer world is happening through the 22nd gene key on the inner world. So the inner planes and the outer planes. The reason in the gene keys that we started with 22 was because it's the inner evolution, the inner or the involution that is driving the change in the outer world. It just so happens, though, that the sun comes to this gate this time of year. So that is why we're talking about the 55 instead of the 22. So I wanted to show you, I just love this. There's not a card that Rosie Aronson did here that I haven't loved, but I particularly love this card. And here it is. This is the face of freedom in the gene keys. He has the dragonfly on his forehead. And literally, it looks like my dragonfly, because I took the card of the dragonfly to the tattoo artist and had her stencil it directly onto my arm from that picture. So here's the face of freedom in the gene key 55. This is from the inner guidebook, the Wisdom Keeper's Inner Guidebook, 64 Faces of Awakening by Rosie Aronson, who is a genius. This is her genius, artistic and storytelling. So her genius is this, and I love sharing these stories with you. So I'm going to read to us this morning the Gene Key 55, because it's so spectacular. Okay, bear with me here. So this is the only gene key that has only two words associated with it, really, because we're used to seeing a shadow, a gift, and a city. And in this gene key, unique to only this gene key, is the shadow of victimization, but then the gift and the city are both freedom. So I distinguish them by all caps for the city and just a capital beginning for the freedom in the gift. And it begins this way. It is always at the very end, when we have all but given up hope of redemption, that liberation comes. Here's the wisdom story. From as early as I can remember, I was moody. I constantly searched for outer reasons to explain my moods and spent my entire youth chasing after everything and everyone I believed caused me joy, and avoiding or blaming those I held responsible for my pain. As I matured, instead of longing for superficial feel-good opportunities, I yearned to feel personally free, romantically fulfilled, and spiritually enlightened. So I embarked on a quest for the perfect soulmate, teacher, and heightened state of being. I became a professional seeker, tantric whiz, and workshop junkie. I fell in and out of love with so many people, practices, and gurus, I lost count. When I was in love, I believed I was free. But actually, I was trapped and addicted to the never-ending hope of romance, the dream of liberation, the catharsis of drama. I was hooked on disappointment and how secretly great I felt, complaining about my unending stream of bad luck. The roller coaster had no end. My emotions ruled me. Even though I could see and explain all of my issues, I was still hopelessly blind to the fact that I wasn't taking responsibility for my life. I was still giving my power away to something or someone out there who could rescue me or make me miserable. In the end, it was all about me, my love, my awakening, my happiness, my disappointment. It wasn't until I met a woman who saw into the core of my victimization that my heart cracked open. I could no longer hide from her or myself. It was through the intimacy of our relationship that I learned to face my deepest fears and most hidden agendas. For the first time in my life, I rose in love instead of falling. Not just with her, but all of life. I stopped complaining and blaming others. No longer burdened by complicated stories and devastating dramas, I was free to feel much more deeply and fully, and to make decisions without agonizing and second-guessing. No longer clinging to teachers or techniques, I started experiencing the kinds of synchronicities I'd always dreamed of. Just naturally, I did more of what I loved, writing songs, enjoying friends, and spending time in nature. Now people tend to relax around me. They feel free to be who they are. I now know deep in my soul that I am connected to all of life. My gift to you, I come to tell you that the freedom you seek has nothing to do with what you do, what you understand, or how you feel. It has to do with the attitude you embrace, no matter what is happening within or around you. Can you live your life without over-relying on outer paths, systems, and structures to keep you safe? Can you fully feel whatever you're feeling without getting lost in drama or the stories of the mind? Can you experience a longing without rushing to meet it or escape it? And can you find peace during painful moments? Can you embrace not knowing? Can you simply be? Freedom is yours the moment you give up the thought that someone else is responsible for your life or that you are separate from life. Practice transparency and radical self-acceptance and you will discover your magnificence. Gotta love it. So there were a lot of questions in that my gift to you section there that we could contemplate, but there are actual questions for contemplation as well. Where are you, your own worst enemy? That is such a 12th house thing, right? The 12th house in your astrology chart is often the place where you are your own worst enemy and where you are hiding your truth from yourself. What and who do you tend to complain most about or blame? Where do you feel most like a victim? Be honest. What systems or structures do you find yourself relying on or hiding behind? What might happen if you let them go? Think of a time in your life you felt free and empowered. How would you describe your overall attitude at the time? Go one day without complaining or blaming and see what happens. Love that story. Love that whole idea. It is wonderful. I'm head back to the Facebook page so I can see what people are saying. Good morning, Debbie. I love that card too. Absolutely. And it is one of those things that just makes me go, we're on the right track. It validates that for me. It pushes me to keep going, even, you know, in the face of adversity or in the face of craziness in our outer world. It gives me hope. And another meaning of this particular gate, especially when we look at it through the human design lens, is that of faith. Faith that we are in an abundant universe, that we are not being traumatized or that we're not forced to suffer in order to get anywhere in this life or in this world, that we are truly magnificent beings that have intrinsic value. And from that intrinsic value, we deserve all the good. It doesn't mean that we don't have experiences where we're getting down into that negative. People die, things happen, our plans get dashed. But it is in our attitude when that shows up that really holds the key for us to move through into an awakening, into a really embracing of our true magnificence. So this gene key is worth studying deeper, taking into the next step. I think maybe tomorrow I will take this one more step, we'll look at maybe some of the more deeper meanings in the word freedom itself. What does that really mean? We talk about free will. What does that really mean? So we'll get to that as well tomorrow. Let's see, any questions out there? Anything anybody wants to talk about? In the meantime, while I'm waiting for your responses to that, let's take a look real quickly at the, I forgot that tumbled off my desk earlier this morning. The calendar, the Pleiadian Earth energy. I'm going to go back to Zoom so I can make sure this is in the camera. There we go. Now it is. 2020 Pleiadian Earth Energy Calendar. This is written by Pia Orlean and Colin Baird Smith, as well as it being sort of channeled to them from the Pleiades, a group of people, a group of beings from the Pleiades named Larkma. And it's a group consciousness, not just an individual. But this calendar, I love this picture as well. This picture reminds me of what our energy is maybe coming out of the galactic center, right? That energy of information and the morphogenetic field. And then, of course, we have the calendar pages themselves that are Gregorian in style, right? We still have the day of the month up here. So here we are over here. Today's the 19th, and it is 7 intuiting. So this would be the energy that is for this day. The 7 is the universal energy. The universal energy is meant to kind of unify all beings, all life forms on the planet behind a specific energy. And the energy of 7 is about merging spirit and matter, or the physical with the spiritual, and becoming whole. The 7 energy, remember, is a doorway. It creates a doorway between worlds where we can see all the hidden things that have been withheld from us, or where we've, you know, just been blinded and not seen it. It is the energy where we can understand hidden truths. So today's energy, the 7 energy, brings us to that gateway. It is sort of that pause energy before we move on into the 8 energy tomorrow, and we get an opportunity to integrate and to evaluate the energies of the previous 6 days. It is the halfway point in the 13-day week. And that 13, again, so important, and a number that we've given, we've sort of relevated it or relegated it to the hidden, to the scared version of it, right? We don't have 13th floors. It's superstitious. And yet the 13 holds a deep secret for all of us. And it is the secret of evolution itself. And here we are then, halfway between the 1 energy that we began with devotion, right? It was devoting energy, and that was the overriding energy of this 13-day week, devotion. And now we are applying that to intuiting energy. And I've got to look it up because I can't remember what intuiting is in the Mayan calendar. It is Keeb in the Mayan calendar, which was represented by the skull or a vulture. It represented that doorway between the seen and the unseen, right? That gateway. So interesting that that is where it is that we have the ability to recognize what is real and what is true versus what is not real and what is not true. What is illusion versus what is the real truth. So we're standing at that very that precipice of really understanding the truth of something. So we're at that gateway point, that halfway point of our week, and we now move into the grounding in of that energy into the higher numbers as we move on into tomorrow. So today you're standing at the doorway between the worlds. What do you see, right? When you look back, it's like that the month of January, named after the god Janus, which has the 2 faces. One face is into the future and one face into the past. And here we have this gateway right here where we can look backwards and we can gather information and wisdom. And then we also can see into the future, right? Where do we go next? How do we integrate everything from the previous days and the previous experiences? And then how do we take that and move forward with it? So we're at a delicate point in the cycle. All right. So one last check going back to see if people had questions that they wanted to pose. Oh my gosh, I can't talk today. That darn Mercury in retrograde sometimes. Okay, no questions. So I'm going to make my leave here and work on a couple of other big projects that I have going on today. I hope all of you have a very good day, that you are able to contemplate what does freedom mean in your life. I will post those contemplation questions for you. But instead of making it just one day's contemplation, let's take this and spread it out over the next several days. In fact, we are in this energy of the sun at gate 55 until the 24th, so until after the new moon. So let's sit with this. Let's sit with this energy and use it as a contemplation tool for the next few days. Right? Don't take all those questions and try to answer them just all in one day. Sit with them and contemplate and answer them over time. That's it for me, guys. Take care. Have a great day. See you tomorrow. Bye for now.